This is an interview with Carl Soller for the Youngstown State University Oral History Program by Lee Molman in Boardman, Ohio on November the 10th, 1995 at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It shouldn't come through. All right, your father was a teacher at South, but when he came here...
Well, my father had, after he graduated from Hiram College in the First World War, he was a principal and a coach at McDonald School in Trumbull County. And I was born there in 1923. And about 1927 or 1928, my father got a job as a basketball coach at South High School. And then he also taught science. So we moved to Youngstown and lived in Willis Avenue from my early years. I can remember those early days of my dad coaching basketball at South High School, because my mother and I would often go to the games. And it was important that, South had good teams. We had great teams, and I can remember going to Ray and Wood Auditorium, which was a place across from YSU where the games were held, the tournament games were held. And it was an exciting time. I was just a little kid, and I can remember wanting to see my dad during one of the basketball games, and I ran across the floor. I darn near got killed, but I did that. Well, my growing up years, we moved in some of those early years. Some of the schools, the early school that I attended, not too far from Willis Avenue, has been torn down. I don't even remember the name. But then we moved out on Ravenwood Avenue, which is close to Sheridan School. And I started to Sheridan School about the second or third grade. And we lived there until about the fifth grade, when we moved out farther out on the south side to Helene Avenue, which was very close to Bancroft School. Now, Bancroft School had been built with the anticipation that the city limits were going to be expanded, but they never were. And so they never did finish the second floor of Bancroft School. And so I went to Bancroft School through the sixth grade, then went to Princeton Junior High School. And that was a trying time for me. I wasn't a very good student in those days, and it was hard to go to that school. But anyway, the ninth grade was held in Princeton Junior High School. We did not go to South High School until we were in 10th grade. And so therefore, I consider Princeton the freshman year of going to high school. However, once you were the senior in a junior high, and then you became a freshman in going to South, but it was a sophomore year. Mm-hmm. And I graduated in the June class. The school was a very busy school, because we had to have our class days split in two. There were too many students. It seemed to me that we would all meet at a certain time in the morning, like 10:30 or so. But we would start the school at 8 o'clock in the morning, then have homeroom at 10, and the kids that came in the afternoon would come at 10:30. We'd all meet in the same homeroom, but then we'd go home and they'd continue on. It was that busy. And I might say that from Princeton, there was two junior highs in the south side. One was Woodrow Wilson, one was Princeton. So we would all get together and then go to South High School. So we knew all the kids from all over the south side, except about 1941 and in that time, maybe 40, they made Woodrow Wilson a high school. And it still is a high school today. But the thing about it, Lee, is that there were too many kids to go to South High School. We just expanded. Since my father taught at South High School, he always saw that we were not in his class. Mm-hmm. Well, it was a good thing. My sister had him once, and she worked her fanny off. because he was good. But my dad only coached for, I suppose, 8 or 10 years. And then he was known in the area as an official for sports and football and basketball. And so we'd go there. When my dad did coach, my mother and I attended a lot of the South High basketball games and was very active in sports. And because my dad was a teacher, I guess I looked at South High School a lot differently. I wasn't overwhelmed by the teachers there, because often we would have faculty things where all the kids would go with their faculty members. And I remember Mr. Berkman, who was in he drew mechanical drawing or that type of field, had a summer place down at Frederickstown, down near the Beaver, on the Beaver River. I don't know that you know about that, but we would go there every fall for a faculty picnic, and we'd make cider and have great times. So we got to know the kids of the faculty members, got to know each other pretty well. Although we didn't do a lot of things, my family was very, very friendly with the Lytle Wiggins family. And he taught physics, my dad taught biology, and some German. So we got to know the Wiggins and the Petersons. He was the chemistry teacher. And Horace Biggs, who was another biology teacher. But we got to know a lot of people as teachers and kids of teachers. My years at South were busy ones. I had a paper route that I had the whole time I was in South High School. The thing about teaching in those days, and I don't think many people understood this, my father would work, and his school year ended in June, and he would be paid 2 weeks after that, and then would have to go to work some other job, because he never got paid in September till after he taught 2 weeks. So we kids all had a big period of time where there wasn't any income from teachers' mm-hmm. families. And that's where the YMCA and Camp Fitch and all that played a very important part of my life, because that just took care of those dry summer times when there wasn't any income. But we got along fine. The other thing that I think I should talk about in South High School is that I seem to be involved, have to talk about the YMCA, because the YMCA had programs for the boys, and called the Torch Club and then the High Y Club. And the girls had a Girl Reserves Club, which was involved with the YWCA. And we used to have a lot of social events together and dances and things like that during high school. And that was a good time, and that seemed to be an activity that a lot of kids joined. And a lot of kids didn't join, but I guess we all were, it was a fun time. I learned to dance, tramped on girls' feet, you know, like all teenage kids. Yeah. What else do you want to know at this point, Lee?
Did you go to any of the ballrooms or dance halls that there was one at Idora Park?
Oh, we did that more as we got to be seniors. There used to be a great dance hall up in the south north side called the Manor. You know, I think
the mansion.
Yeah, thanks. My wife's going to help the mansion. Mm-hmm. And that was a great place. And I remember as a senior year, I was editor of the school annual, and so we had a dance there for kind of a money raiser. And Bugsy Spanier was his band. And I remember him because he was minus a couple fingers. But anyway, it was a great place to go. But Idora Park was a fun dance hall. And I don't remember we had many activities from school at Idora Park. Some groups would take over the park for a day or something, but I don't recall the South ever having a South High Day. They may have, but I wasn't aware of that. Like most kids in high school, you're busy, and you know, I can't think of anything unusual except the high Y and that sort of thing. Each spring, they would have a civics day with the high Y program and the YMCA. And I was chosen mayor for the day, and that was a big deal to be that. But I got to know kids from all over town through that activity, the high Ys. We'd all get together and do those things. I guess I just got through school. I don't know what to say about being in school there, except it was busy. You know, when you have that many kids, you split up in two sections for the school day, you don't always get to know all the kids that are in the school. But after 3 years, I had gotten to know quite a few people. Played basketball, and did I go into that yet?
No.
The South High School had recently built the South High Field House. In my senior year, I was on the varsity basketball team and played in the first game at the South High Field House, and we played Maslin. They were much better than we were, but at least that was a kickoff, the heyday of sports in the South High Field House. And I must say, I have a sad feeling that South High is closed and the field house is closed and people don't feel safe to go down in those areas. Mm-hmm. It depresses me some because it was a good school. And I still think that South should be used. I told one of the school board people that they closed the wrong school when they closed South High School. They should have closed Hillman and sent the kids out there to South High School. It's a much better facility. And the school is still in good shape. I went down to meet Mr. Grohovic, the last principal, and was impressed by how well the school had been taken care of over all these years. I had no occasion to, but I did meet with him. It's with some sadness about the school closing. What else do you want to know about my days at South High School?
I heard originally there was a swimming pool in the school.
Yeah, and that would have been covered over.
By the time
Mr. E.G. Deem had a speech class in that facility. And the pool was never there when we were there. The courses that I remember, the huge study hall, room 200 upstairs, that was an active, busy room. I don't know how any teacher kept any order in that room, because as I remember, room 200 seemed to me you could seat 200 kids in there. But I think it was interesting. We had pep rallies before the games, and the annual event, of course, was the Rand South football game on Thanksgiving Day. And it was especially important to me because my cousins went to Rand. Their father was a principal of Rand School. And so we always had an inter-family competition here, and those were exciting days, even for high school. Go down those cold winter days and stand there and cheer for your South High School to beat Rand. And that rivalry has been long since gone.
Did they still trade that trophy, the statue?
I don't know about that. Maybe somebody else knows more about that than I do. Because I never played football, so I didn't get into that. I know, to my knowledge, there wasn't that competition with Ray and South basketball.
Yeah.
That seemed to be more what I was interested in than than the football.
I don't remember when they first started using the statue, but I guess there was competition there from the time South was built.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Okay, so we'll start with this scrap. I am really impressed with this.
Well,
I had a cousin who kept a scrapbook.
Well, you know, my mother and father are no longer living, and so I have gone through her scrapbook and have culled out the stuff from her scrapbook, and I thought, or from her picture albums, and I thought that my grandfather was a Lutheran minister in Youngstown on the north side.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so that was a very important, he was an important person in our lives.
What church?
St. Paul's Lutheran. It's near 5th and Caroline now. And he died when shortly after that church was dedicated in 1941.
Where was he a minister before?
Oh, he'd been here for years. He had been a minister in Indiana, or on the border of Indiana, Ohio. Savannah, Ohio.
I've been doing some work on Youngstown's early churches lately, and
you could get some information about this St. Paul's Church. This scrapbook that I have shows my involvement at Camp Fitch in the summers and my involvement in the early days of South High School and the High Y clubs that were there. Yeah, you know, as I was telling you, for example, here's Harold Burton, who spoke one time. Well, he was a senator from Ohio who came to speak. And here's Flinny Powers, who was a superintendent of school. We're at Trinity. So this shows about U.S. senator from Ohio. America looks ahead. You know, we had big people to talk. Then there were always high-wide dances, you know, and you had dances with, you can see mine wasn't, I don't know even who I took to this dance, but you can see that I must have danced with her a lot because I only have about five or six of them filled in. Here's my certificate that I got, my basketball letter from Merle Roselle was the coach and Bob Fleming was our principal at that time. And that shows a picture of me playing basketball and shows some of the games, you know, if you scored very many points in those games, you know, I scored 4 points. I was one of the high point scorers.
Oh,
you know, we didn't, you know, you didn't score a lot in those days. And so, let's see, I don't know when it says when this game, Mass and High took place. I don't know that it has a date here, Lee, but it was in the fall of 41. No, it doesn't have it. And these newspapers are getting pretty old.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had some great games, and it was fun to play in this. It says here, Dick Lally, Carl Soller, Jr., and Roselle displayed uncanny accuracy. South swept into a 31-16 third period margin. Well, that's a big deal. 31-16. My gosh, they score more than that in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Not the third quarter. And these are more of, I think that the Y gave an interesting flavor to high school because we were still involved with religious, it was a religious overtone from the Y. And I might state, I was at the Y today. I'm on the Camp Fitch board, but we have some people from Spain because we do a lot of interchanging with Spanish people in the Ys. But as I met some of those people today, it was these people that are friends today were friends that I made through the Y and through early days of Princeton Junior High and South High School.
That's wonderful.
And so it was important times for us.
One of the things that Talking to Bill Carney, he was a Catholic kid, and he said they weren't allowed to participate in the Y activities because it was considered, I guess, Protestant Christian.
Why is it a Protestant?
Well, at that time.
No, I don't think it ever was. I don't think it ever was.
Well, no, I don't think that the Y discriminated against them. I think they were told, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think that has changed, you know, and it was at one time was considered a white organization. And that has changed, too, because there are a lot of Afro-Americans going to the Y now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of, gosh, at Camp Fitch, we had Jewish kids that were at Camp Fitch, you know, some of the Tamarkin boys. I never felt that. Of course, I was on the other side of that. But I can't believe that anybody who espoused Christian virtues of fairness and you know, that sort of thing would have anything against the law.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of the people on the board were Roman Catholic, so I don't know. This shows, this one picture of the scrapbook shows Highway takeover for the day, and shows people from all over. The Howard Morrow was also a dentist, became a dentist, and was from Girard. Leroy Shaner was from Rayon. And so, it was a great time for people from all over getting together. I think we put the principal in jail or something that day.
Oh.
That was a big deal, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some of these other things. I think we had this at Princeton Junior High School. Princeton Junior
mm-hmm.
High School just had a new auditorium built in 1941 or shortly before, and we had this big event then. That was before I graduated. Then it shows our senior banquet and shows the people who are recognized for awards and that. And this is all the people who spoke at our graduation exercise. And so, you know, those were really important days. And my diploma from South, being known that I got my diploma. And then I met my wife at Oberlin College, and I have somewhere a letter, in fact it's in here, from Robert Fleming, so that he said something nice about me, and I was able to get a little bit of scholarship help at Oberlin College.
Really?
You know, how much I got that year? $350, that was for a semester. So, you know, times are a lot different now financially than that. Well, I have it somewhere.
Mr. Cash this morning told me at Miami he paid $40 a semester for tuition and $2 a week board.
Well, that's probably right.
It's just
that's probably
just
right.
Amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I talk about 1943 when I was inducted in the Army as my last days of innocence, and I think that going to high school and Princeton Junior High and South High School and my association with the Y, it's truly these were days of innocence.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up in an infantry division in Europe in the 40s, and so really I look back on these times with fondness. They weren't all great. I mean, they weren't really great days, but they were innocent days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could walk, I lived right out not far from where I live now, and we would walk to and from on Market Street to school and think nothing of it. We didn't have school buses. We would often hop on the streetcar or the bus or the trolley car then, and I think 7 cents or, you know, it wasn't expensive. We could buy a book of tickets for school. School kids could ride. So we just did a lot on our own that way. We didn't have to have school buses and things. Mm-hmm. It's a different time.
How far did you live from South?
Well, if you shoot an arrow from here about 7 blocks, over. That's where we grew up, most of our growing up years, on Helena Avenue. If you know where Jack Velker's funeral home is, it's at the bottom of that street.
Oh, okay.
So that's where we grew up.
Is it a couple miles, do you think?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Good.
Sure, it's a couple miles.
Market Street is so strange. Because I didn't grow up here, it just seems endless.
Well, it is a major, street. That and South Avenue. Of course, South Avenue doesn't go as far because Market Street continues the north line and on, becomes Route 7, on down to Rogers and on down to the river. So we would ride the public transportation a lot, walk a lot. And I don't think we had the fear of that the kids have now of being on the south side. It certainly was not, South High was not a place to be feared where you went to that. And I guess as years went on, they had to close the South Fieldhouse for a tournament play because it was dangerous. People's cars were broken and stuff like that. That sign of that has always bothered me, that they were even not able to keep that a safe haven for kids going to school in that area. Because it still is a substantial building and a substantial place. The other thing I think, Lee, that I might mention that's different from this educators in the system today, public school system, is that we had teachers who graduated from many schools. Syracuse, Meadville, we had them from all over. So we didn't have the YSU students graduating and coming into the school system.
I noticed when I was looking at the annual, I noticed several of the women teachers were from the Seven Sisters, Wellesley and the other.
Oh, yeah.
Really good Eastern schools.
This school, this town was ran in South, and I have to speak to that because I know more about those schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were teaching Greek in Rand at one time. My uncle went from Oberlin College to teach, I think he taught Greek at Rand. South had wonderful teachers. Harmon Welsh, who was a math teacher par excellence, and some of our leading people at Commercial Intertech, John Nelson was one of his prime students in math. I can still remember. He was a great teacher and challenged us. And that was good. Another thing as being a teacher's son or teacher's family, we were always concerned, as are people today, about passing school levies.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember as a little kid passing out handbills and stuff to pass a levy. I mean, this was important to our lives, that the school levies were passed, the teachers would get paid. And I've been still working on school levies even to this day, thinking about that, because that was an important part of the finances of the school system. What else do you think you need to know? I don't know that I've filled in the spaces for the rest of the people who talk.
Well, some of my standard questions are things like the Depression and World War II and just that era in there. Was it your father had a steady job in the Depression?
Well, I can say truthfully that my father had a master's degree and never really earned a lot of money as a teacher. I've always felt a travesty that he never earned what he was capable of in maybe some other field. But it was in the Depression, and we did have an income. I mean, we didn't, that was that. But when times got better, teachers didn't go along with the increase in the economy. So I think that the Depression, we did feel a depression. I can remember that my grandfather, who was a physician in McDonald, would give me $5 for a YMCA membership. Now, that was a big present.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my folks didn't have extra money, even with my dad during the Depression stuff, didn't have extra money to buy those things, even though that I had a steady income. The money wasn't there. So that was an important thing. And then we'd get on the Youngstown Southern Railroad and go downtown and ride the trolley into town. That was an important part of our lives. And I think the why and sports are what really got me through my education from the public schools in Youngstown. The support of those people. And then I never felt, as I said before, I never felt really that the teachers were my enemies. You know, I always felt a friendship to my teachers. And I didn't like them all. But by and large, they were good teachers and friendly people. I might say one thing. You were talking about the Army. There was to a history teacher of mine, Jim Scannell, and another guy, Jim Camel. Now, these guys never got married. But for some reason, when I was in the Army out in California, they looked me up. And another guy by the name of John Sosnowski was in the Marines, and I was in the Army. They looked us up and took us out for dinner when we were out there. Now, that's, you know, that was the friendship of faculty, in my knowing them and they knowing through my father where I was. And so that was another little plus. I often were thankful for those men. They both are not living now. Mr. Scannell died a number of years ago. But it was, that part was good, a friendship there. I don't know, what do you want to know about the Second World War? I don't know. See, I had graduated from high school in 41, so that meant that I was in college, at Oberlin College, in 1941 when the war was declared, and I was drafted in June of 1943. So I was pretty much away from high school. I was in a whole new group of friends from college and that whole scene. So. It wasn't until I came back to Youngstown in 1952 after I started college in 41 and the Army, and then I taught school at Howland School for a while, and then I went to dental school at Case Western Reserve and graduated finally in 52. So it was a long time between high school and my earning a living as a dentist. But then when I came back to Youngstown, I picked up with some of the friends I had known in high school. But I think it's different when you go away from a community and get a whole new set of friends and then come back to the area. I haven't picked up with too many of my high school friends. They're, you know, well, when I see them on the street, we're friendly enough, but we don't go socially. Mm-hmm. So it's been a whole different group of people. Some people, I think, who never go on to college or never, or who all just stay here, mm-hmm. perhaps have a stronger bond with the kids they were in high school with.
Yeah.
But perhaps you've had that experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my sister, who stayed where I grew up, is a lot closer to the kids she went to school with than I am.
So I've been. I can truthfully say I've been proud of my father and what he stood for at South High School and the caliber of teachers that were there, because they were a cut above. And so I'm proud of that heritage. I really am.
I noticed that both your father and you spoke Carl with a K. And I know it's a German name. Was there any discrimination, do you think, World War II or World War I?
Well, my grandfather was a young man in Germany. And there were a lot of German people who had migrated to the United States. Mm-hmm. And as a young man, there were some German ministers who went to Germany to try to recruit young Germans to come and be pastors for German congregations. And my grandfather came in the 1800s, 1870s, I think. So, and there are two reasons that he came. One was that he came because he was recruited by other ministers to go to Capital University in Columbus and become a Lutheran minister. The other, there was conscription in the armed forces, and I don't know, I think young men were supposed to go under the army and stuff like that, and I don't think that was a part of his lifestyle. But anyway, my mother claims that that's part of the reason he came. And so when he was here in the First World War, he'd been here long enough, you know, from the 1870s. But the street that the church was on was called Berlin Street, and they did change the name of that street to Funston Street. Now the church is still there, it's been renovated, and the manse that my grandfather lived in has been torn down on the lower north side. So that's how my grandfather came to this country. And then his fiancée came and they were married and raised three kids. My father was the second in my aunt, married Frank Tier, who was principal Rand, Marie, and then a younger brother, Ted Soller, grew up on the north side. And that's a history in itself, you know, those early days, hard working conditions, people working 12 hours on and 12 hours off in the steel mill. And my grandfather ministering to those people. And the name Carl is German. So I was named for my father, little aside, my middle name is Ewing, E-W-I-N-G, and my mother's maiden name was Mary Ewing, and my wife's mother's maiden name was Marion Ewing. Mm-hmm. Now somewhere in space we were related, but it's been so far long ago that it doesn't. And the branches divide, and I think it was Revolutionary War times or something like that. And many of our family, my mother's side, came from Scotland to Ireland and emigrated then to the United States. And many of them came from Western Pennsylvania, Beaver Township, Beaver County, in that area. We just had a Soller reunion several years ago when we had all the Ewings and the Sollers and whatever's together. And it was a good time to remember that. Our family, I might state, has always been very much interested in education. My mother and father both got their degrees. My mother was interesting. She got her degree, or two-year degree, to teach at McDonald. She was the first elementary teacher, I think, at McDonald. Then after we kids were grown, she went back to ISU. In 1950, when I got my bachelor's degree, she got her bachelor's degree.
Did she?
Yeah, and she taught in Mahoning County while she was getting it. Then she taught in Liberty Schools. So my folks were always interested that we pursued higher education. And we have done that with our four kids. And I'm sure they're going to do it with their kids. You know, it's been an important part of our family lives. Not that everybody's been a professional, but in the professions, but you know, that's. And I think in my day, I think South High School was an excellent school to prepare me for higher education. As I recall, basically we had good teachers throughout, from Bancroft School. I don't remember the Sheridan School teachers too much. So Bancroft School were good teachers. Then Princeton had some excellent teachers, but I think that Mr. Rayan, as we talked about earlier, who was a principal of Princeton Junior High School, was a really a strong administrator, a man who was very much respected and set a tone for a school that I think that thinks schools need. And so I feel fortunate that I was had those kind of people as part of my early life.
Do you think the education you got at South is better than what most high school kids get today?
I don't know, Lee, if you can compare it. I think the diversity of the teachers for the Youngstown area was better. I don't think there's the diverse teachers, diverse education of the teachers, teaching is as diverse as it was then. Mm-hmm. Now, whether that's good or bad, or makes them a good or bad teacher, I can't say, but it comes with a different perspective. Mm-hmm. You don't always come with Youngstown State University School of Education background. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt if there's anything that's perhaps has not been as good for the present schools, that might be it. But then education, teachers are trained so much differently now. I'm sure they have Kent State and Ohio U and Bowling Green. I think we're getting more and more state teaching schools mm-hmm. to prepare the teachers. Mm-hmm. I don't know that, trying to think, I've been involved with Borden School. If my wife was a librarian there. Mm-hmm. Been involved, and I'm trying to think how many teachers I could speak of that come from small liberal arts schools. I suppose maybe I don't have the whole handle on that, but it seems to me that I think we didn't have the testing they have now. We didn't have SATs and that kind of stuff. You know, you went pretty much your recommendation from your principal, and your grades were very important, and you got into school by that. It was a time when you got into school. Now, this is in 41. You know, the war in Europe was just really flaming up. Seems to me at Oberlin College, I think they accepted you pretty much on your grades and on how you presented yourself before the college. And awards were given for your qualification on scholarship awards. I felt one of the weakest parts about my high school education was we were not tested very much. I mean, the kids now today with SATs and a lot of testing are able to do well in testing. Maybe that's been a change. Maybe they're preparing people better to mm-hmm. go in the testing.
Or at least to do well on tests.
I think there's a certain knack of taking tests because that's how you're graded all the way through. You know, mm-hmm. you don't go in your personality. I can't say anything too bad about South.
No.
For me, it was good. I do believe that there's a lot to be said for education. Youngstown, I probably one thing I'd like to talk about, since we just had an election and we've gotten some new people on the school board, the quality of the people on the school board in the city of Youngstown is not the same quality of the school board people who were on the school boards in my in my growing up days. I'm sure you always have some bad actors, but Warren Williamson was a very strong person on that board. Mrs. Marshall from the North Side was a strong person. She was not affiliated with anything. And so there were, I can name several other people, but they were strong people in the community. And it was a well-respected job that those people did, you know. We didn't have this bickering. We didn't have this positioning for a political future, mm-hmm. being on a school board. And that doesn't go anywhere. You're not going to go anywhere. The school board, if you want to be the mayor or governor, that's to serve the kids. And I think they did do well with what they had. That doesn't mean everybody liked them, mm-hmm. but they did. And they had some strong principles in the area. You know, Mr. Glasgow at Woodrow Wilson, Ricksecker at Cheney. I can't remember all those people, but they were strong people in the education thing. They didn't fuss around and put up with a lot of shenanigans. I mean, you had to obey. Couldn't get away with this business. The other thing, I don't think that parents were so, maybe parents weren't so involved as they are today of complaining, and maybe they have more to complain about now than they did. But PTAs, I remember my mom went to PTAs, but I don't remember controversy like I see in today's education system.
I always had the feeling growing up that my parents felt it was their job to, you know, keep me in line at home, and then the teachers had their job to do at school, and I was just expected to, you know, do what was expected of me. They didn't interfere a lot, but
well,
I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Well, you know, I knew I had to behave at school. I couldn't play hooky.
Yeah.
I mean, I would see guys playing hooky and play golf or do something else, and I never did that because I knew that my dad would know about it, mm-hmm. and I better not make him unhappy with me. So, I don't know. I think maybe we lived in a time of more trust. You trusted your teacher, you trusted your minister, you trusted your government people more than, not that they were all good, the best, but I think maybe that's a difference. You know, we did, our parents, I think, did trust the system. I think, I know my mother, if she was upset with some of the things that happened, she would complain to the principals. But, you know, I guess my folks took the attitude where you're going to run into these kind of people all your life, so, but you come home and we'll tell you how to get around that. Mm. You know, I think maybe your folks might have done the same thing mm-hmm. when you didn't realize it. Just outward complaining, I don't think, gets anywhere. And, you know, in those days, I don't know that there was ever, my high school days, junior high school days, playing basketball with blacks, as I call them, Afro-Americans, we never had any big feeling one way or another about that. We seem to have come to a division now on this business of races, and I think we just accepted each other for what we were. Mm-hmm. You know, if a guy was a bad actor, or he's black or white, he was a bad guy. Yeah. You know, that's the way we looked at him. In the South Side, it's so different now than it was then. I might say that right now, a lot of the friends or families of friends that I was in high school just moved across the line between Youngstown and Boardman. A lot of them moved to Boardman and Canfield and Poland. That's where most, and some Austin town, but most of them sort of settled south, farther south.
Mr. Cash said he thought that after World War II, a lot of the young people came back to Youngstown. Instead of settling in the city, moved out to the suburbs, and that made a big difference.
Well, you know, there was a brand new area built over there by Mill Creek Park. I wish I could remember the name. But anyway, there was a lot of new housing built there.
Mm-hmm.
And young people went over there. There's a elementary school over there now in St. Charles, the other Catholic school there on... people moved to that new development, new area. That was still the city of Youngstown, however.
Mm-hmm.
And it still remains the city of Youngstown. That's where a lot of the strength comes from on the west side of the schools now. You have this, so you have St. Christine's Roman Catholic Church, and you have an elementary school there, and you've got the new Cheney High School there. And what was the Cheney, or the old Cheney School was West Junior High now, and that people are moving there. Then if you're a Roman Catholic family, then your kids went generally to Ursuline from that area.
Mm-hmm.
That's been the way they've moved it. Now, I don't know what's going to happen, what's happening there now. So a lot of people, if Mr. Cash said they did move south, yeah, they did. They moved to these new developing areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think they were all interested in the schools. They saw the schools playing a different role than what they had been accustomed to. I don't think it was immediately after the Second World War was over, though, in the 45s. I think it must have been, because I've talked to a lot of people who were still going to school there in the 50s and early 60s who still lived in the city and thought it was a decent school.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Beach thought there was a lot of change in the 60s, too, with Vietnam. He saw that in his own family.
That was a trying time. It was a war that should never have been. And a lot of young... I remember one of my young friends, I tried to talk him out of going to Canada. And he did go to Canada to avoid going to Vietnam, and it's kind of messed up his life. And I think a lot of people are messed up who avoided going to Vietnam, and a lot of people went to Vietnam were messed up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a bad time for people going to a war, and it was. And I think Al Beach is right. And then I think another thing with the Nixon business, I think that people distrusted the federal government, especially when you distrust the President of the United States, and it's, you know, that was a whole part of that generation.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter was at Oberlin College when the Kent State incident happened, and that was a bad time for young people also. And I don't know if we'll ever get, I don't think we'll ever, these kids will ever have a day of innocence that we had. I just don't think it's in the cards.
Mm.
And it's too bad. I really think it's too bad.
My daughter's a freshman at Cheney this year, and when I think how different her school years are already from mine, and then compare mine in the 60s with the 40s, and then my dad's at the time of World War I, it's just incredible how much education and perspectives have changed in this century.
Well, there's more information out there than there's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And with this internet and all this kind of stuff, there's just more stuff out there altogether. But I've had the feeling that regardless of what's out there with all the these kids. Still, if you come back home to a home base in some stability, I think that's where it is for kids today growing up. Now, they can make their own decisions about certain things. That's okay with me. And I want them to think on their own. But I want them also to respect our generation for what we've been through and what we may lend to their lives. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that we have the answers any better than anybody else. But I don't think interpersonal relationships have changed that much for over the years, from your father's generation to mine. Mm-hmm.